Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Adam, the biggest story in football right now, and especially with the Denver Broncos, is the ongoing Deshaun Watson saga. And we're going to get this out of the way off the top. We both agree that in this scenario, it's okay to not have a take because we don't know. We don't know what happened, and that's okay. So we're not going to speculate. We're just going to let it play out. Investigate every situation. Every incident should be heard, and they should get their say. They should get heard. But that's the extent to which I think either one of us is comfortable saying. Let it play out. And Deshaun Watson has every right to defend himself because that's what you're forwarded in this country when someone makes an accusation against you. But we don't know. And I think it's important, especially in this day and age when there's so much immediacy with social media and being first, it's still okay to not know and to say, I don't know. And we don't.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'll echo it just very briefly. And mostly because, like you said, it is a big story in Denver because the Broncos were linked with Deshaun Watson, as were a few other teams, as places he'd be willing to go in a trade. That gets everybody's hopes up. Now that's the conversation. And then you get something like this that comes out. And the best thing that we can do is step back and say, okay, well, until we know what really is going to happen, until we have some idea of any of the facts that might be out there, until something is more concrete, right? There's nothing is solid at this point. It's like we're trying to walk on water here and we can't. So it's better to just wait. And I've got nothing but time. And quite frankly, if you look at what the Broncos have been doing, there are other things for us to talk about. There are other things for us to focus on. And to me, that's the best part of what's going on right now for this franchise, for the Denver Broncos and for the fans of the Denver Broncos, is that we don't have to pin our hopes on something that we're really, quite frankly, never probably ever going to know everything about. And we don't have to sit and kind of, you know, chew on our fingernails and be nervous about something going down that might end up impacting the franchise moving forward and hurting the team and this, that, and the other. Because George Payton has done a pretty good job in free agency. I think it's fair to say that while there was a moment of concern over the slowness of his movements, once he got rolling, it was as if a giant boulder was chasing Indiana Jones through some sort of maze because he really started running through and making some big moves. Moves that we talked about already. Things that happened before the last time we recorded, and we record on Tuesday nights, Tuesday afternoons, depending on what's going on. It's a Tuesday night for us this time. And we've got more news to talk about, which is great. And so let's do that. Let's jump into the Broncos news that is actually Broncos news. And the thing that happened after we recorded last week that we didn't get to talk about, and we'll jump on that right away, is the Kyle Fuller news. And the fact that the Bears did finally release him, right? It was sort of took a little while because they dragged their feet on it a little bit. And the worst kept secret in the NFL to this point, Kyle Fuller wanted to play for Vic Fangio. Lo and behold, look who's signing in Denver.
And the fact that that move even happened, I don't even think it was on anyone's radar. So when Brad Biggs announced on Wednesday that this was going to be a possibility, when I cheated on you and did the Cover 2 podcast with Joe Roll.
It was so terrible.
Our dream was to get Kyle Fuller. As you said, it's the worst kept secret. Like, Kyle Fuller wanted to play for Vic Fangio if he had the opportunity to. And I'll get into why here in a second. But No one knew or thought that that was going to happen. And the fact that Kyle Fuller got released, I think the Bears were trying to get some sort of trade so they at least got something. But as soon as that report came out from Brad Biggs, it was like, no, we'll stare down with you because we're a statue. We're not going to do anything until you release him. We don't need to do anything. You do.
It didn't work out.
I mean, just an incredible move. So now you have Ronald Darby, Bryce Callahan, and Kyle Fuller. That is a hell of a cornerback group.
He's throwing
Michael Ojemudia and Isang Bassey. Now that takes the pressure off of Ojemudia and Bassey. It pushes them down on the roster a little bit. And now you have three guys who I think are a great fit. Two of them who have played in Vic Fangio's defense, and we know they're a fit. And Vic Fangio obviously liked Ronald Darby. But in terms of why Kyle Fuller wanted to play for Vic Fangio, it's his 2018 season. That was the last season that Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator for the Bears. In that season, Fuller had 55 tackles, 21 passes defended, and 7 interceptions. His passes defended led the NFL, and he tied for the league lead in picks. That was a tongue twister.
Always
that is. Was enough to earn Fuller first team All-Pro and a Pro Bowl selection.
You know,
if he's able to recreate that 2018 season, hell yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I was going. If he can get even half of that, and I'm looking specifically at the interceptions on this, the big issue with the Broncos recently has been a lack of forced turnovers. They have not been a defense, while they've been a good defense, right? They have been solid in the red zone, and we've talked about that before. Number one defense in the red zone in 2020, which means that they've got a very good bend but don't break sort of ability there. But those interceptions that you brought up, those 7 interceptions, that gets me excited, because one of the things that defenses can do to help an offense, even a struggling offense, is force turnovers and put their offense in short field situations that allows for them to not have to go 93 yards or 85 yards. Instead, you can go 45 yards. You can go 55 yards. Those are the kinds of things that turnovers can do for a team. They can make the offense better, which is exactly what the Broncos need. The Broncos need a defense that is going to make their offense better. And Kyle Fuller, as you've said, has the ability to do that. And if he can recapture what he did with Vic Fangio in Chicago, I like it. Sign me up. Let's do it. And on top of that, you mentioned Michael Ojemudia and Isang Bassey, and you also mentioned Bryce Callahan. The other thing I like about this is the depth that it gives, because you know you're going to have injuries. And I hate to say this about Bryce Callahan, and I don't want to make this a he's injury prone type of comment, but he's injury prone. That's the comment. So it is nice to have that kind of depth, knowing that you've got a young guy, and especially in Ojemudia, who I think had his moments as a rookie where he showed he can do it. But he also had his moments as a rookie where you go, okay, that's a rookie. Another year under his belt, not having to worry about starting, but maybe some spot starts here and there, depending on health. That's the kind of thing that's going to make Ojemudia and Isang Bassey better, because they're not going to be feeling that pressure of, oh my gosh, I'm a starting cornerback in the NFL, even though I probably don't have the skill set to be a starting cornerback quite yet, or I don't have the experience maybe. Well, however you want to say it, that takes the pressure off. That makes them better. Relieve a little pressure, makes them better, makes the defense better. And seriously, weren't there reports? I think there were reports of before Kyle Fuller was officially released, he was already in Denver at the airport. I feel like I saw reports. I saw Kyle Fuller at the airport. Are you sure? Yep, they signed him. Oh, okay. I probably was. I don't know.
And right after that move was announced, this is on Sunday, Broncos punt returner Deontay Spencer, a.k.a. God Peed, he tweeted, one more piece to the puzzle. We get 22 back. I'm not taking my helmet off the whole game. Punt return alert. So for those who don't know, he's basically saying he ain't taking his helmet off because he's going to be returning punts the whole game. That's if they did what we thought I brought up to you last week. They bring back safety Kareem Jackson. And on Tuesday, lo and behold, they added that piece back, and Kareem Jackson signed a contract with the Denver Broncos.
Everything's coming up defense here, and I'm okay with that. Like, it feels really good to know that everything's coming up defense. And I think the thing that was most disappointing about Kareem Jackson not being brought back or not you know, that whole situation was knowing that, A, he plays really well in Vic Fangio's system, which is nice to have, right? B, he and Justin Simmons had really sort of become one of the best safety tandems in the NFL. They were top two or three. If you want to sort of start to, you know, kind of rank them out, they were at least top two or three. And then you get Justin Simmons, that long-term contract, knowing that the age of Kareem Jackson is going to be a factor here. You kind of wanted to see him one more year. You wanted to see that duo again. And then obviously they cut him because of cap space issues, and they don't want to pick up the big contract. He got an opportunity to go test the free agent market. Whatever the market was, it didn't get him to leave Denver. There wasn't anything there that made him want to leave. It really makes me wonder, and I'm sure that we'll hear more about this moving forward. It makes me wonder if George Payton said to him, look, go test the market. Go see what you can find. You find something better, take it. If not, we're here for you. Because that seems to be the type of GM that he is. It's what he did with Philip Lindsay, right? And we can talk a little bit about the departure of Philip Lindsay here as well. It was, go, see what you can find, right? We'll give you your release. If nothing works out, we'll throw you a few a few hundred thousand dollars. Whatever, it's fine. It's totally cool. That seems to be like what he did with Kareem Jackson here. And I like it. I like the way he has handled the free agency period, because there is a clear focus in what he wants to address. And the Denver Broncos have gone about creating a defense on paper that is, I'm not going to say Super Bowl caliber, but certainly playoff caliber, right? I'm not going to put anybody in that stratosphere yet, but they are certainly a defense that you could see potentially carrying a team to the playoffs and making some noise in those playoffs, because anything can happen at that point. I like it. I like the thought process, because we all know weapons-wise on offense, they've already got all the weapons. So, you know, that's already taken care of.
I think one of the other issues with Kareem Jackson is he saw what George Payton did. Brought back Von Miller, brought back Shelby Harris, extended Justin Simmons, signed Ronald Darby, signed Kyle Fuller. He wanted to be a piece of that puzzle, because he can be a key piece to that now. Has the potential to be a very, very, very good defense. I mean, a very, 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 very good defense.
You might have missed a very in there. I'm just saying there could have been one more. It's okay. It's hard to count.
I could have thrown it out. I wasn't trying to be like Larry David, but I kind of was with the varies. But the thing is now, the Broncos are legitimately a quarterback away. And we have been saying that before all these moves. Now this is even more compounded that they are a legitimate quarterback away. Whether you feel that's Drew Lock, whether you're still on the Deshaun Watson train or not, or trading up at number 9 to get a rookie quarterback. I think in that situation, you're still a quarterback away, because I don't know if you can rely on a rookie quarterback unless it's Trevor Lawrence. And you never know with Urban Meyer. Maybe he goes with Justin Fields since he was at Ohio State.
No.
No?
Let's put that one to bed.
let's say Urban Meyer does take Justin Fields at number 1.
Sure.
If you're George Payton or any team in the league, maybe except the Bills and the Chiefs, are you calling for that number 2 pick?
I think that the list of teams that are not calling is a lot shorter than the list of teams that are, and it would be much easier to you know sort of list those teams, because obviously you are certainly calling and saying, hey, you know, you really like Sam Darnold, right? So how about, but I don't think the Jets would.
I mean,
would,
even the Jets couldn't screw that up.
No, the Jets would say, no, thank you. We'll be drafting Trevor Lawrence, but Sam Darnold's available in a trade if you want him. There's certainly some things you could do there. I don't think that even Urban Meyer could talk himself out of drafting Trevor Lawrence. And I'm not a draft geek. Like, I'm not one of those people that follows the draft. I usually pick one draft crush, and that's who I pine after for an entire draft, and then am disappointed when that's not the guy, when the Broncos pick. I don't have that draft crush right now. I will say that. I had some leanings towards Micah Parsons earlier. I'm sort of off that a little bit now and not quite sure what direction to go. But that really is something that Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence is at least draft grade wise, I think he's in the John Elway, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning stratosphere, where you go, that's a surefire guy, and if you don't draft him, you're an idiot. Which, I don't think Urban Meyer's an idiot. I don't like the guy, but I don't think he's an idiot.
In terms of the college game, I think I've made the joke on this podcast. I have other places. I can't watch college football because I want to stay married.
It's tough. Well, you guys go to CU games sometimes, so that helps, right?
Occasionally.
That's how you get your Saturday fix. Is you're like, hey, I got tickets. You want to go to a football game? And then that's how you finagle it. That's it.
That's basically my only chance to watch college football, because I mean, I'm so invested in the Broncos and the NFL. I can't really watch college football and be an expert on it.
Totally understandable. You got to pick. You know, we should probably mention a couple of things here as well. In terms of departures for the Broncos before we jump into some draft stuff here. There were a couple of Broncos that made their way out to Chicago. I should probably go visit and say hello, make sure that they know I'm around if they need anything. Point them in the right direction. Good restaurants. Check out Lou Malnati's Pizzeria. Maybe hit up Cortino's downtown. It's a great Italian restaurant. Stuff like that. But anyway, Elijah Wilkinson, off to Chicago. Jeremiah Itachu, off to Chicago. So, a couple of guys who, not starters by any means, at least not necessarily all the time starters, but guys who contributed because of injury, guys who added depth to the Broncos roster, have now both find themselves moving on and not necessarily greener pastures, but bigger opportunities, perhaps chances to start. These are the kinds of guys you wish them well and say, you know, good luck. I hope you find some success.
And that makes Calvin Anderson now the swing tackle for the Broncos. And obviously there's going to be a lot of talk about what to do with that number 9 pick. And do they look at tackle? I think the big question, aside from quarterback, is right tackle and Juwan James. Whether or not he's going to be able to be the guy that John Elway, Mike Munchak, and the Broncos thought he could be when they signed him from the Dolphins a couple of years ago. And I think the thing that is in his favor is he's going to be completely healthy. And we're not going to get into the opt-out stuff. We both think that he made the decision that was best for him and his family and why he didn't play in the 2020 season. So there's no need to rehash that, but he's going to be completely healthy. And I found it interesting that when Von Miller, when the Broncos picked up his contract option, Juwan James tweeted, it's great for me because I get to go against the best in the league at during practice. So I think there should be the expectation, but also you can have a little bit of anticipation that he's going to be what they think he can be. And I think that what ties into that is Mike Munchak.
Absolutely. Now, I will say, I don't know if you noticed, I heard a faint drum beat in the background as you were talking, and it sounded like the Tackle Bros were beating some drums. And I have a feeling, much like last season in the draft and in other seasons, the Tackle Bros, the drum beat of the Tackle Bros will grow and grow as we get closer and closer to draft day. And I'm not sure that it's actually the wrong direction to go for this team. I don't really know. And again, I'll say it again. I don't have my draft crush yet. So tackle bros.
I do. I have a draft crush.
I'm putting it out there for the tackle bros. Woo me, right? Tell me why I should like your guy. Tell me why I should want a tackle at 9 in this draft, or why I should trade back and get more value for the tackle we pick at whatever 14 or 22 or however you want to do it. Go ahead. Give me some reasons. I'll jump in. I can be a tackle bro for a draft. I don't care. I'm the essence of water when it comes to the draft. Right up until I find my crush, and then that's all I want. Roquan Smith. That's all I want.
I will say the piece that I think could be a lot of fun in this offense, Najee Harris. And I get it. He's a running back. You're probably not going to pick him at 9. Because just look at what the Cowboys has happened to the Cowboys since they've given that contract extension to Ezekiel Elliott. Not to say Ezekiel Elliott isn't a great running back, but
he's not the one who broke Dak Prescott's ankle either, so we don't want to blame him for that.
But Najee Harris in this offense, that could be a lot of. I mean, I get it. Pat Shurmur's still the offensive coordinator, and those who listen to our podcast to preview free agency with Cecil Lammy. Cecil made it abundantly clear how he feels about Pat Shurmur.
Not a fan.
I think most Broncos fans aren't.
It's not been a good first impression. Let's just put it that way.
But I think even Pat Shurmur couldn't screw up having Najee Harris.
Ooh, did you hear that? I feel like someone just said challenge accepted. That makes me nervous as well.
So depending on what they do at 9, they could trade up, they could trade down, they could stay put. I think what is interesting now is there is a lot of talk about they needed to draft a cornerback. Well, that need is now gone because they have Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby. Obviously, just like edge, you can't have enough depth at cornerback or at edge. But as we mentioned earlier, they have Bassey and Ojemudia. So that's now 5 cornerbacks who can legitimately play in the National Football League. I think the tackle bros are going to be a little bit quieter this year because Garrett Bowles has turned into one of the better tackles in football, something that I got way, way, way wrong, and I'm – you can hold it against me.
Yep, me too. I missed on that. You know what? And good for him, right?
And that's why
we always say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so happy I feel like we did at least say, I hope he proves me wrong, because that is certainly our MO. Like you can say that we hate Drew Lock if you want, but I think both of us will tell you if Drew Lock is the starter on day one for the Denver Broncos, I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he proves that he's the next guy up and going to be the franchise and all of those things. I hope he proves me wrong. If that's the direction the Broncos choose to go, he will get my full throated support for as long as I can handle rooting for him until eventually it shows that it's not going to work out. But I hope he proves me wrong. And we did the same thing with Garrett Bowles. And so I'm happy for him. And I think that what you're getting at there, and I really like this, is that the strength of Garrett Bowles makes the Broncos totally unpredictable in the draft. And as we were sitting here and I was listening to you, a name popped into my head and I'd be curious what you think of it. This is certainly not our draft preview. We'll get Trevor on to talk about barbecue and the Game of Thrones here in a couple of weeks. But
actually, guys who know what they're talking about when it comes to college football.
Real college football know-it-alls, right? But the name that kicked into my head there as you were talking was Kyle Pitts. And I don't know why, because the Broncos have Noah Fant. They have Akwegbunam or Akuibunam. I don't know. Somebody tell me how to say it, because there seems like there's
Alberto.
Alberto is fine. But he's coming off injury. And when you're freak like Kyle Pitts, like when you are that kind of athlete, if he's there at 9, is there a reason you don't pick him?
Now, this isn't meant to be cringeworthy because of what happened after and even while he was playing. But remember what that New England Patriots offense was like when it had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. That offense was insane. Now, obviously, one of their tight ends went legitimately insane. We don't need to get into that. But that could be what you have if you go that route. Whether they do, I don't know. I mean, it's intriguing. You add even more pieces. I mean, you have Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, who they put a second round tender on, so he'll be back. KJ Hamler. You mentioned Noah Fant. You mentioned Albert O. Melvin Gordon.
The reason it comes up though is at what point is somebody such a freak, right? And I say freak in such a good way with such admiration. At what point is
LeBron James freak? Like, right, he's legit. Like, just, when you saw LeBron James in high school, you knew yes. he was a freak.
At what point do you go, I know I don't need this, but I'm going to take it home with me anyway. I'm going to buy this car even though I don't need it. I don't need this refrigerator, but I love that I can see through the door and that it'll tell me what to buy at the store and that it makes ice cubes that are balls. I'm going to buy this $20,000 refrigerator even though I don't need it. At what point do you do that?
It was like me and Blackhawk when we're at the Monarch Buffet and I have my third plate and I tell myself, I don't need this fourth plate, but I'm going to eat it anyway.
I'm going to take it home with me because I deserve it. And at what point do you think, I have the ability to take this luxury with me, so I'm going to do that? And at what point does the luxury make it to so that you don't have a choice? Like, you have to pick this guy because he's that good. Now, I'm not saying that Kyle Pitts is that good. I'm not saying that he is the second coming, right? I don't want to do that. But every time you see him work out, every time you see tape on him, he's legitimately destroying people. And so I'm intrigued. I don't have my crush yet. Go ahead. Tell me why he should be my crush. I am actually actively asking for suitors. Like, go ahead and tell me why I should want your guy as the number one pick for the Broncos in the number nine pick, I suppose, in the 2021 draft. I'm listening. I'm all ears. You know, give me a reason to fall in love with somebody. I want it. That's what I need right now.
I think the thing that makes it exciting is it frees up everything in the draft for George Payton and this franchise because of what he's done in free agency. And the thing that's interesting, and there was some talk about this in our MHR Slack channel, where do you give George Payton the credit for making the moves that he has made, or is it, well, it's moves that we all would have made, so get the quarterback fixed? And to me, it's just like with a great athlete. Think about Champ Bailey. When you watched Champ Bailey, he made it look so easy. Great general managers do the same thing. They make it look easy. When you're great at your job, you make it look easy. So it comes across that way. Like, oh, wow, how is he doing that? He makes it look easy. So, yes, they are moves that we all would have made, but you still have to go out and make them. So when you started off the show saying that he's done pretty well, I think he has an A, at least an A, with what he has done in this free agency. He has made great moves that have made his defense even better. So to me, he has done a great job. And I think it's opened up so much for what they can do now heading into the draft.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.